Well, hello. It is Bowerly, WBEN, Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney. Time is 9 minutes after 3 o'clock. And you know what? The other day I said, hey, they say they come in threes. I wonder who's going to be next, because Connie Francis died. Okay. Ozzy Osbourne died. Two disparate music styles, I might add. Then we got news that Hulk Hogan died. And then we find out that Chuck Mangione died just a couple of days ago in Rochester, where he was born. And, you know, I'll say this much about Chuck Mangione. I will say this much. Can we let the music play there, Tanner Saunders, at Master Control? Can we do that, please? I want you to realize something as this plays in the background. Thank you for your patience. You are caller 28 in the queue. We value your business and appreciate your call. You are number 28 in the queue. We appreciate your business and thank you for your call. You are caller 28 in the queue. Without Chuck Mangione, what would we listen to on hold? We would have dead air on hold. I don't know what his royalty checks were from the telephone companies that used his music, but they had to have been substantial. I'm just saying, is there any other song you've heard as much over the telephone as Chuck Mangione's Feel So Good? And still a staple of the yacht rock genre, by the way. Anyway, thanks for being with us on this Thursday. And it's hot and it is sticky, like my underarms. And unfortunately, you're not going to be able to enjoy yourself at some of the beaches along Lake Erie. And I've had some issues, too, at Olcott Beach in, oddly enough, Olcott, New York, in Niagara County. And just a couple of things you need to know. There are a number of reasons. Some of them are geographic and have to do with the contours of the land around Lake Erie. But basically, our area's sewer system is antiquated. With even a moderate rain, which I know we didn't get, it overflows. Not only that, but there is also the idea that animal waste runoff goes into the lake, in addition to the human waste runoff, which goes into the lake. It's really bad. And then there's the stuff from Blaisdell Creek, which goes into the lake. And the winds don't help the situation, because what happens is, obviously, the closer to the shore you are, the more shallow the water tends to be. And from where do the winds come? They come from the west. So what does that do? It keeps all of the poopies right along the Lake Erie shoreline. And it's interesting why they set beaches up exactly where that tends to accumulate. But the good news is, I've got some good news on this front. The drinking water is drawn from well offshore in Lake Erie. Well offshore, number one. Number two, there are regulations on what you are going to find in your tap water or your cooking water out of the faucet. Okay, they carefully regulate that, and that water is treated. Sometimes it's UV, sometimes it's chemicals or chlorine or something like that. The water is safe to drink. And as we're talking to Joe Beamer before, because he had mentioned that he wasn't sure he wanted to eat a fish out of a crappy lake. spell that how you would like. It works either way. And the bottom line is, you don't have to worry about the fecal bacteria or activity when you eat a fish out of Lake Erie. You have to worry more about mercury and PCBs, because provided you're washing your fish and cooking your fish before you eat your fish from Lake Erie, a lot of people like the walleye, and it's a lot cheaper to get your own than it is to buy it from the store. That's expensive stuff. Unless you're doing it raw, you are going to be fine in terms of the E. coli and the other bacteria in the water. Now, I'm not sure how the boaters feel about that, because, then again, you're not boating right by the shoreline unless you're coming in to go to one of the lakeshore bars or something, right? I mean, you're going to be out a little bit to enjoy your fine vessel, your mountain of regret, which sits docked most of the time. So anyway, it's not good for swimming, but frankly, I don't know that the beaches in Western New York are really all that great to begin with. But then you add feces into it, and it certainly does not sound very appetizing or like it would be a fun recreational activity, unless, of course, you are fishing for brown trout. And that's a different story altogether. So anyway, it really is a shame that the weather in Western New York, you have a finite number of days where you can take your shoes off and your shirt off and put on a bathing suit or a bikini and go to whatever passes for a beach in Western New York. Okay. And then when any of those days are interfered with by bacteria, it really sucks. And I feel bad for those of you who like the beach. I'm not a big beach guy, actually. I'd rather do the pool thing. I use the same criteria that I use when trying to figure out if I ever want to go camping. And no, I don't think so, because to me, roughing it is like being at the Marriott. That's roughing it. But I'm not going to do Allegheny State Park. It's just not me. I don't feel like fighting with mosquitoes, okay? I'd rather fight with room service, frankly. Do they have room service in the woods at the cabins in Allegheny? Anybody know? I don't think so. Okay, I remember my brother, Billy. Must be Billy week on the show. He used to go camping with his friends at Allegheny all the time. And he must have gotten blotto and just passed out, because he would come home and he was literally mosquito bites from head to toe. I've never seen a human being so ravenously stung by mosquitoes as was poor brother Billy. Oh my goodness. It was horrible. It was wretched to see that as a kid. I mean, I thought he had like leprosy or something. It was awful. But anyway, yeah, camping, yeah. Boating, we're going to get into boating here in a little bit, if that's okay with you. But the bottom, and somebody wanted to know too. I live in Tonawanda. I live north of where the crappy water is, the poopy water. You mean to say when I fill up my glass, I'm drinking stool? Well, sir, it depends on where you're filling up your glass. But if you're using the faucet in your home, you're fine. First of all, the water that is in the poopy area now is going to be in your tap anywhere from 12 to 36 hours from now. It depends on a number of factors, including wind and weather. I looked that up before airtime today, so I could sound like I knew what I was talking about. Secondly, anything you drink from the Erie County Water Authority or any of the other local water places is carefully regulated and has to meet certain criteria, and it's tested all the time. So you are fine. Yeah, I mean, technically it might be the same water, but it's not going to be the same water, if you catch my drift, because it will be treated. It'll be fine. So don't worry if you're north of the poopy water about drinking the water, unless there is one of those boil water advisories, which seem to happen way too much, do they not? Boil water advisory in some municipalities more than others. But anyway, as long as you boil your water, it should be okay. Actually, that's how tea was invented. You might not know this, but when the Mongols were sweeping through Europe, Genghis Khan, I think it was, came up with the great idea, because he knew that disease and dysentery took a big toll on armies in history. He ordered his soldiers, his troops, his hordes to boil the water. And I guess when you boil water, it doesn't really taste that good afterward. So they decided to put stuff in it to make it taste better. And since they didn't have drink packets with electrolytes, they went apparently to the fields and came up with tea. So they figured that water with tea was better than water boiled plain. So now you know the rest of the story. Anyway, 18 minutes after 3 at News Radio 930 WBEN. I do hope that you found that somewhat helpful, maybe something of a relief, knowing that you should be okay, because the poopy water is the near shore water. The drinking water is drawn from offshore and it's heavily treated, and the fish are fine, except there's PCBs and mercury probably, and the older the fish, the greater concentration of those things you're going to likely find in the fish. And that's why they have limitations or suggested limitations on the size of fish you should eat. If you pull a lobster from Lake Erie, you have done something very few people, I'm sure, have ever done in history. Now, no lobsters in the lake, okay? I'm just saying, I want to point that out. Now, there is a story that, I know we mentioned it on News Radio 930 WBEN, and I'm going to mention it now. See, I'm not a golfer, so I feel kind of weird talking about this, but I feel as though I really should. Interesting situation at a golf course in Amherst. It involves an off-duty police officer from Cheektowaga. Now, there are a lot of questions I have about what happened in this situation. There's a lot of blanks that need to be filled in. But as I understand it, this happened, last month, a few weeks back, and a Cheektowaga off-duty police officer, was golfing at Glen Oaks. He hit a tee shot on the seventh hole. He did not yell, "Four!" And the ball landed close to a group of other golfers in front of him. All right? The other golfers in front of the off-duty cop were not pleased. Were not pleased. You know, Mitch Hedberg once said that hitting a guy with a golf ball when he teed off was even better than a hole-in-one. He's dead now. He can't defend what he said. I'm just repeating it with great sorrow and anguish and just scorn over Mitch Hedberg. But the golfers ahead of the off-duty cop were upset because apparently the ball came a little bit too close for comfort and he didn't yell four. So they confronted the guy because all they knew was this moron just hit a tee shot and he almost hit us with his ball. So apparently two of the people ahead in the party of golfers, they confronted the person they did not know initially to be an off-duty Cheektowaga police officer. One of the individuals apparently was carrying a golf club and allegedly was holding and using the golf club in a threatening manner. The police officer off-duty did show his tin, did show his badge, and also recovered his service weapon from his golf bag. He didn't point the firearm at anybody. Nobody is saying that, but he did display it. He displayed his firearm. Now, I would think, now maybe I'm stupid here. I would think, and again, I wasn't there, and I'm only going on secondhand reports here, but if somebody is coming up to you with a golf club and they are acting in a threatening manner with what would be a deadly weapon, I would think that 99% of people, the minute you whip out the badge alone and say, "I'm a police officer, you really need to back up," wouldn't 99% of the people back up? Maybe. Depends on a number of factors, alcohol and bravado. It depends on a number of factors, but I would think that would be enough for most people. So I would kind of like to know about the sequence of things. Did he show the badge first, and did the person continue to advance with the golf club, thus necessitating the showing of the firearm? Of course, once these people, the two guys, approached the off-duty cop and saw the firearm, they immediately backed off and yelled, "He's got a gun! He's got a gun!" Not something most people expect to see on a golf course, but police officers are very welcome to carry their service weapon off-duty, except New York City, it's all screwed up, but they do carry a lot their weapons off duty. And in the old days, I'm not sure what it's like now, some departments used to mandate that their off-duty officers always carried their firearms. Oh my goodness. Let me tell you something. You might think it's glorious and it's romantic and it's awesome. It is a giant pain in the butt. I'm sorry. I don't care how comfortable you think your holster is. That's a pain in the butt. And frankly, in New York State at this point, for the regular person, it isn't worth it because every business you go in, pretty much, unless they specifically say, "We welcome carried, concealed permit holders," you're going to be breaking some law or another. So it's really not worth it. But anyway, this situation is being investigated. I don't think charges are going to be filed, either criminal charges or departmental charges. It seems as though the situation was de-escalated pretty quickly. The only issue is, how close were the guys, one of whom had the golf club, to the off-duty cop when he showed the service weapon that he had been concealing in his golf bag? And I would like to know that, but I'm not really seeing anything here that merits some major investigation. Now, have you seen the video? Tanner is going to know the video of which I'm going to speak. Tanner, the video of the former NHL enforcer at the golf course throwing a guy around who was drunk and brave and violent, and the NHL enforcer tossed him around like a rag doll?
Wait, you're asking me if I've ever seen that? I have not.
Oh, it just happened recently. I'm shocked. You, of all people, don't know a sports thing. I am stunned. But anyway, it's nobody, probably most of the people listening, of whom they've ever heard. But it's kind of a funny video in a way, but it's also, if you don't like bullies, this is a bully who picked on the wrong guy. First of all, the former NHL enforcer was a lot bigger and clearly a lot stronger, but this guy was drunk and he had beer muscles or whiskey muscles or tequila muscles or whatever kind of muscles he had, but he didn't use the one in his head called the brain. Not that that's a muscle, but anyway, the situation at the golf course in Amherst involving the off-duty Cheektowaga cop, is that a big deal to you? Because to me, it's not really a big deal. Like I said, the only questions I really have are, how close were the people, one of whom had the golf club in hand, who threatened allegedly to beat up the cop before the weapon, the firearm, came out? But the off-duty officer didn't point it. He simply displayed it and identified himself as a police officer. If somebody identifies himself as a police officer and they show a firearm, are you really going to go running back to your golfing buddies and say, he's got a gun, he's got a gun? My first would be, oh, he's a cop, not he's got a gun. And supposedly the off-duty cop said that these guys were going to have trouble with the police. And some people would say, oh, he was basically threatening that he'd get even with them. No. I think what he meant was, if you continue to approach me in a belligerent fashion with a deadly weapon in your hands, we will call the police and you are going to have trouble with the police. Maybe not the Cheektowaga police, but you're going to have trouble with the Amherst PD. That's how I interpret that. But again, I wasn't there. Were you there? Maybe you were. I'd like to know. 803-0930 is the phone number. *930 on the cell phone and 1-800-616-WBEN. Do you see anything wrong based on what we know? And frankly, in terms of the details I want to know, I'm really lacking in this one because the reports are lacking in this one. How close were the guys? Did he show the badge before the service weapon, or did he do it simultaneously? I don't know. 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Welcome to the show. Tom Puckett coming up with the 2:30 news. And again, Hulk Hogan has died, and Chuck Mangione died a couple of days ago in Rochester. Oh, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Yeah, so the whole golf course thing with the off-duty Cheektowaga police officer, I just think we're not going to hear anything else about that unless the facts are not as represented. I just have a couple of quick questions about that, but nothing that would be unsettling. Somebody said, he should have walked away. Well, he's on a golf course. Exactly to where was he going to walk? Was he going to run away? The guy was out recreating. And at least on the job, a police officer is under no obligation to retreat. I don't know if that extends also to off-duty police officers. It may well do so. But, I think maybe everybody learned a lesson. Maybe the police officer learned that when golfing, probably a good idea to yell four. When hitting your tee shot, and to the people who almost got hit, maybe a good idea not to confront the person who almost hit you in a violent manner. Just, you know what? This is where the Sopranos would come in very handy. Just go, oh, oh, oh. That gets the point across without any menacing with a golf club, right? And by the way, I say menacing, I don't mean the legal definition of menacing whatsoever. Now, we have heat advisories in effect for Genesee County and Niagara County and Orleans County, and it is late July. And, you know, I've done shows before talking about, you have a boat. Was it a mistake? You know the cliche everybody uses. Oh, it is so old. It is so hackneyed. It is so overused about boat ownership. I won't insult your intelligence by doing that cliche. I'll try to come up with some other cliches that are equally horrible. But you know what I've never done? I have never done this, at least not that I can remember. We've done a lot of shows on driving and how people drive, what they do when they're driving, that absolutely infuriate you. I mean, I got to tell you something. People who cut you off in traffic, who totally cut you off in traffic because apparently they bought the car that didn't have the turn indicator built into it. It's really strange how frequently those cars get off the lot. But there are things that people do when they're driving that aggravate other drivers. I don't think I've ever asked this question of boaters, and I'm kind of curious, but I'd like to expand it. Okay, let's say you are a boater, and I'm talking about a boat, not talking about a watercraft like a jet ski. I'm talking about a boat. Are there things that other boaters do that are so bad? And everybody should know they're bad, but they do it anyway. And I'm not a boater. Well, let me rephrase that. I don't own a boat. I love being out on the water. Oh, I really enjoy it. As long as it's somebody else's boat to maintain, insure, take care of, and I'll bring the food. I might even bring the booze. And I will certainly clean up after myself, and I'll actually leave whatever booze we didn't drink on your boat. No problem at all. But that's about the extent of it, okay? I'm a boat freeloader, but it's not really freeloading when you invest money into food and you bring it to the boat and you leave what you didn't eat or drink on the boat. I don't consider that to be freeloading, do you? But the thing that I can think of, the only thing I can think of that would annoy me if I was a boater is the people who boat too fast in the no wake zones. Oh, you know what that's like. There you are. There you are in your craft, and somebody isn't paying attention to the speed limit, the nautical speed limit, and they go by you, and roughly 20 seconds later, everything goes spilling in your little craft because you get hit with the wake. Oh, that's not good. Not good at all. That, even as a non-boating guy, that's one of my little aggravations. Of course, the other aggravation is if actually the no faster than 5 miles an hour in the, in the boating zone. Yeah, I know. This is way too slow, way too slow. It's one thing when it's you. It's another thing when somebody else does it to you and gives you a wake. That's not a lot of fun. But if you are a boater, I guarantee you know more than I about what's cool and what isn't cool to do when you are boating. Are there things that other boaters do and they should know better and they absolutely infuriate you? Is it as bad on the water as it is on the roads? Think about it. The people you see on the water, these are the same idiots who cut you off on the way to the water in their cars or other motorized vehicles that are terrestrial. 803-0930 is the phone number, 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. Those are the telephone numbers. You can call all three if you'd really like to. I've got no problem with that. But think about all of the things that bother you driving a car or a truck or a motorcycle, anything like that. I have to believe, and I could be wrong, that boaters also have a list of things that absolutely just make you scratch your head. Like, what a moron. How does this person even afford a boat like this? And in addition to the wake thing, I just thought of one other one that I want to point out. I mentioned being cut off in traffic. When you're boating, just out of curiosity, I have seen this happen. I've seen people cut off other water craft in the river or on the lake, whatever lake it happens to be, Ontario or Erie in this particular case. That's not a lot of fun. It's like, how can they not see this boat? Because it's pretty big and you're going to cut in front of it. Those of you who have jet skis, by the way, super cool, super awesome, a lot of fun, except when the water goes up inside of you. That's not fun. But the rest of it is a lot of fun. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. But wait, there's more. Feel like Ron Popeil selling the pocket fisherman in the early 70s. Remember the pocket fisherman? Anyway, fits right into the topic. But anyway, you are a boat owner, okay? You have invited your friends, or you think they're your friends, onto your boat, your pride and joy, your expensive hindrance to enjoying financial security. You invite your friends onto your boat. Are there things that those of us who are your guests on a boat need to keep in mind? What are the rules of being a guest on a boat? Now, nobody ever told me these things, but my own personal rule is never come to a boat empty-handed. And if you're part of a couple, make sure your husband or your wife or significant other of some variety, make sure they have remembered to bring something. Because you know, and I know, what does boating do? When you're on the water, what happens to your appetite? Yeah, you become voraciously hungry. I'm not sure what the chemistry is. I'm not sure what the biology is. But there seems to be something about water, whether it's fresh water or salt water, that does two things. Number one, it makes you very, very hungry. And obviously, if you're in the sun, it can make you very, very thirsty. But alcohol's not really a good choice for hydrating. But you should bring alcohol because people do enjoy, well, unless they're in AA, people do enjoy adult beverages, okay? And you should probably bring something, even if it's wine, even if it's just a bottle of wine. I'm just saying you got to bring something to drink. And you should bring some food. Maybe sandwiches. That's always good. Bags of chip. And don't forget the dip. And if you're going to bring the tortilla chips, make it guacamole dip and salsa. Oh, especially if the boat has a head, which is nauticalese for bathroom. Okay. Where's the head? That's on my shoulders. No. The other head. Oh, that would be aft. Where's aft? Yeah, probably good to familiarize yourself with boating terms. That might not be a bad idea. And I wonder if the rules are different on a sailboat as opposed to a motorboat. Motorboating. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Driving a motor vehicle on the terrestrial roads, there are many things other drivers do that absolutely infuriate you. And you know what? It just dawned on me. You know what really infuriates people more than anything? Parking lots. You will see the worst driving ever and the most inattentive pedestrians and other drivers in parking lots, any big parking lot. And some of the parking lots now are absolutely serpentine. They make no sense. Anywhere you look, there's an opening where somebody is going to be careening at 50 miles an hour on a very, very busy day, right? And I would imagine that at a marina, isn't it kind of the same thing? Where people, it just gets so screwy when you're pulling out or when you're trying to make it back to shore and tie up for the day. Do people typically drive? Do they boat like idiots near the marina more so than they would on the open water? Saw a video this morning, actually, of a passenger jet which came a little too close to a B-52 bomber lately, but it was doing a flyover and somebody screwed up something. That was awkward to watch. But anyway, we're not talking about, hey, when you're in the air, we're talking about when you're in the water. What do other boaters do that absolutely drives you nuts? I mean, maybe it's nothing. Maybe I'm barking up the wrong tree. But I would have thought logically that if other drivers on the roads do things that annoy you, other boaters have to do things that annoy you if you are a boater. I do this once a year too, but owning a boat, this just seems like a great day to do it. Owning a boat, is it worth the aggravation? I'm not going to repeat the cliche, worry not. But I want to tell you something, no matter what happens in life, there is one thing I will never, ever own, and that, my friend, is a boat. I have zero interest in owning a boat. You know what? They're great when other people have them, but I don't want to own one. I view a boat in much the same way as I view an elephant. I think elephants are awesome. They're fun to ride. I just don't want to own one, okay? I really don't. No need, no desire to own one. When I think about the insurance, the registration, the paperwork, the maintenance, the storage, I don't think it sounds like a lot of fun. It just seems to me, I could be wrong, seems to me like an added aggravation that most of us just don't need. And is it true what they say, and you know the cliche, about the greatest days in a boater's life? I'm saying boater with a B as in Bravo, not voters, okay? Is it true what they say, those are your two greatest days? Because I'm inclined to believe it. But then again, I didn't grow up around boats. I wouldn't know how to maintain a boat if I watched a million YouTube videos on boat maintenance. I still wouldn't get it. Just have no desire to own a boat. But many of you, look, many of you live for boating. Many of you live to sail. You've actually got a bumper sticker that says, my other vehicle is a sailboat. Is owning a boat really worth it? Or is the joy that you receive from knowing that after work today, you're going to head down to the water and you're going to hop onto your boat, and you're going to cruise up the same stretch of river or lake that you've cruised about 88,000 times before. That helps you get through the workday. In fact, you love your boat so much that you don't even go home afterwards because you've got a cabin on board and you just crawl to sleep on the boat. You let the water rock you to sleep and you wake up in the morning and you think, oh man, I got to go home now and take a shower and find new clothes. And then I got to go to work. 803-0930 is the phone number. *930 on the cell phone. 1-800-616-WBEN. And the other option is, if you are a boater and you have people come to your boat, what should we know about your expectations of us on your boat? And do you have any horror stories about people you asked to come on your boat and they wrecked your entire day? They almost destroyed your love of boating or sailing? Do I have to delineate between the two, boating and sailing, or can I just use one monolithic term here? I'm just going to say boating. 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. So a day like this, I thought I would bring up boating. And as I mentioned earlier, I'm not a boater, but I love being on your boat. You know why? Because first of all, I'm not real big on possessions. Might sound really weird. I'm just not big on possessions. They're just not. The more you have, the more you got to worry about. The more you have, the more you have to dust. And a boat to me is, regardless of anything, is something that really I don't need, I don't want. And I love being out on the water. I will be out on the water tonight, as a matter of fact. Oh, I'm going to enjoy myself, but it ain't my boat. It ain't my boat. Unfortunately, it doesn't have a head on it. You get to a certain point in life where, you know, between the ages of 0 and 5, the biggest questions you have are, where is the bathroom? And after the age of 60, the biggest question you have is, where is the bathroom? It's really strange. But it'll be a short trip, or I'm going to take an unexpected swim. Hey, I think I'll hop in the water right now. What are you doing? Never mind, I'm just hopping in the water. I love boating, but I don't want to own a boat. And is owning a boat really worth it in Buffalo and Western New York? Are there things other boaters do when you are on the water that are absolute sins against the very idea of responsible and respectful boating? And when you invite people, schnooks like your humble host, onto your boat, what are you expecting from me? And have people done things on your boat that have made you never invite them again? I can think of people who one example would be somebody who might not be used to drinking in bright sunshine, and they have that one drink too many, and then a wave hits the boat, and their lunch is all over your deck. I'd imagine those people don't get invited back. Yeah, I would probably think not. Let's go to Bob in Lancaster on WBEN. Hello, sir. You are on the radio. Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Beautiful.
I've been listening to you, and it is outrageous the way that people drive on the water. And as I mentioned earlier there, people should get in a car that tows a boat. When you're towing a boat, you don't go fast, and they cut you off. They go in front of you. They slow down. They don't realize how long it takes to slow down when you're towing a boat in a car.
Well, this is before you even get to where you're going to launch the boat.
You got it.
And I understand that people don't drive very well. Believe me, I get it. I understand that. But these are the same people on the roads that are, some of them anyway, are going to be piloting or captaining the boat on the water. So do people do things on the water that are just as bad?
Well, as I say, I was a troller. I troll on the water. That means I go slow at 2 miles an hour everywhere all the way. And I've been doing that for many years, 40 actually. People, because you're going slow, they have to go past you fast. Respects to your weight. Unbelievable. You set a little, I used to have a plastic glass with Coke in it. I'd set it down on the brim of the boat. Whoop, hang on, there's a boat going by. There's no sense to these people. They don't listen, and they don't know the rules. They really don't know the right of way.
Well,
by the way,
you shouldn't be doing coke on your boat, for one. I mean, the wind is going to blow the powder all over the place. But you meant Coca-Cola, soon to be with natural cane sugar, like the stuff I would buy from Mexico way back in the day when I actually did sugar. Yes.
Coca-Cola, I rephrase.
Yes, indeed. Well, you know, look, Coke versus Pepsi. Pepsi is so much better than Coke. I don't even know where to begin, except with the cane sugar. Now we might have a contest going on.
Well, I'll tell you what. Coca-Cola in the red glass tells everybody, including the authorities, you're not supposedly drinking beer or alcohol. And they are watching, and they do a hell of a good job.
Well, it depends on what you mix it with, sir.
Yeah. Well, you have to have your boat inspected every year, too, by the Coast Guard. That's free. It's absolutely free. And you learn a lot of stuff when they inspect the boat, how your lights, da-da-da, anchor, safe jackets. It's just appalling to me when I was on the water that people go by and they don't really give up nothing.
No, understood, man. Hey, thank you very much for the call. You know, I'm old enough to remember when we could simply say life preserver and not personal flotation device. Your PFD. Do you have your PFD? The hell is a PFD? Is that a new vaccine? I have no idea. Oh, you mean a life? Oh, yeah, I've got, we're good, man. I got my water wings right here. It is, I've got my little wiggly worm, my floaty worm. It's 3:57 at News Radio 930 WBEN. It is Bowerly. I'm going to continue this because apparently I'm a glutton for punishment after the news at 4 o'clock with Tom Puckett. The whole boating thing. I mean, this, a day like this, weather like this, you got to do the boating thing at least a little bit. Really? I think so. On News Radio 930 WBEN. Now, this is interesting. President Trump meeting with Powell at the Federal Reserve just handed something from his suit coat. Tanner Saunders working to get the audio for us, get a sense of exactly what is going on. Powell was actually originally appointed by President Trump, then reappointed by President Biden. His term goes until May of 2026. And there are those who believe that the Fed is intentionally keeping interest rates ridiculously high so as to subvert the Trump economy. Basically, when interest rates are high, we got into this the other day, that means that you are squandering billions, maybe trillions of dollars because of interest debt that you really shouldn't be paying. And it's just a way to control you and keep you forever a serf. Tanner, if we're not able to get the audio, let me get to the calls on the other topic on WBEN. Irving, let's bring Irving in. But his name is Mike. He's from Irving. And Mike, you're on WBEN. Hello.
Good afternoon, Tom. How are you today?
Well, I wish I could read lips, but go ahead.
Well, boaters are the most friendly people you'll ever meet when you're grouped together, that's for sure. That's one thing I will say. And one thing I want to say is BOAT was always an acronym for break out another thousand when you have to repair it.
Oh, that's the other cliche that I say. I spared you from the cliches today, and you just brought one out, man.
I didn't hear you. But now it's spelled BOATT. I just had to have my bellows replaced.
Oh.
And that was $2,066.25.
Now, I hope you're going to forgive my ignorance, but what are bellows and what do they do?
We have a stern drive. There's rubber gaskets that go between the out drive and the motor that stop the water from coming into the boat. And when your boat starts sinking, you got a problem, you know, for sure.
But are you a lifelong boater, sir?
Yes, sir. Since I was 7.
And have you gone through the whole series of boats? Like, well, I had a 10-foot, then I had a 20-foot, now I've got a 50-foot, then I had the Titanic. That didn't work out so well.
I don't have anything that big. Mine right now is 24-foot. You know, it's a good speed and stuff like that, but boating is fantastic. But, you know, the older you get, the more work it is, that's for sure. And I understand why people, as they get up in age, they want to, it's not worth it, you know.
But people are such bad drivers on roads. I know you say boaters are the greatest people you'll ever want to meet, but aren't there people who do things that really aggravate you and cause you to raise a fiery amount of temper on the high seas?
Not so much boaters, but the jet skis, if you will. Those are the people that really annoy you.
Oh, okay. Now, look, I love jet skis, and somebody let me borrow a jet ski. I didn't realize he was expecting me to bring it back in 10 minutes, so I took it out for about half an hour, maybe an hour, and they were about ready to call the Coast Guard. Like, what did you do? Well, I went across the river to the old power plant, then I went under the bridge, then I came back. What's the problem?
Yeah, the jet skis, they tend to get, I think there's a 500-foot, you know, right-of-way, you know, just don't go within 500-foot. They're coming within a 50 feet of your boat, stuff like that, and you got swimmers out in the back, stuff like that. It's just, they're horrible.
Yeah, well, you'll be happy to know, sir, I did none of that. I was as decent a jet ski operator as I am a motor vehicle operator on the high roads of Western New York or anywhere else.
And mostly, you know, I'm up in age, but mostly it's the young kids, and they follow your wake, you know, if they hurt themselves, I think you could be held liable for your wake and stuff like that. You know, it's like, guys, no. Stop it.
Well,
I'm not sure about that. But,
I mean, jet skis are super cool. But it's funny because I've actually seen the law enforcement boats. I can't remember whether it was the Niagara County, Erie County, or Coast Guard people or Homeland Security that had a jet ski or two pulled over in the Niagara River. That was weird.
Yes. It never really happens out here where we are in Lake Erie by Sunset Bay. But it just, Angola, I drive basically between Erie and Angola is my normal path of travel. And it's just, they tend to be right on you.
I've also got to ask you this, because this is something that has been bothering me now ever since we did the last show about boating, probably last summer. It is this. Okay. As a motor vehicle operator, you can go a million different directions and you can travel on a million different roads. When you are a boater and you are based, let's say, in Irving or Dunkirk, wherever you are based, don't you get sick of taking the same route all the time, seeing the same stuff all the time?
Absolutely not, because most of the time you're not looking at the scenery. You know, you're just out having a good time. Scuba diving, you know, you go, and I have a jet ski, don't get me wrong. You know, we take the jet ski out, stuff like that, but no, I never get bored of it. I never get bored of it. It's just the cost. That's the big thing.
So you've got one of your official divers flags that so everybody knows, scuba divers nearby, baby on board. Have you found anything cool scuba diving?
Not really. No, we dove in the Brunswick and the Collingford outside of Dunkirk, and that was a decompression dive. That was kind of nice, you know, but that was about it, you know.
Well, if you want to find some cool things, I would suggest diving in the Niagara River by Ferry Street, because I'm pretty sure that everybody I've ever met who is into scuba diving who says they have dived in the Niagara River by Ferry Street has come up with a War of 1812 cannon.
Oh, no kidding.
I'm just telling you, I'm exaggerating somewhat, but talk about making a guy jealous, and it's either a War of 1812 cannon or a full bottle of alcohol, probably from the Prohibition era.
That's funny. But
I'm not even kidding.
Oh, I know. From Grand Island to Canada, there's a big culvert. You can sit in there and watch, and the river flows over you because the river's fast, at least when you're swimming up. I think it was Beaver Island or something like that. And it was kind of neat. You know, you could sit in the culvert and you wouldn't move, you know. You're just sitting there kind of hanging out with your buddies, you know.
The only place I've ever been is Grass Island, which I think they really need to put signs up at Grass Island that say, this is the world's largest male-female urinal. Grass Island is where people go who don't have heads when they have to pee. True story.
I don't do much reporting, so I can't comment on that.
Yeah, no, it's a true story. But, I mean, I guess it's okay because the water is moving fast, and as long as you're not doing anything else like the Lake Erie beaches. Very, very interesting, sir. Thank you very much. I appreciate the one quick question I have to get in here. So you've got, what, a 25-footer, you said?
24.
24. Are you going to go bigger before you buy the farm?
Nope. I'm literally going to get a pontoon boat. I might get a bigger pontoon boat, but I bought a cuddy cabin, and for the kind of, and this I bought, you know, about 8 years ago. I used to go out in rough weather. I don't go out in rough weather anymore. So I want something that's got more room. I have literally 8 foot of storage in my bow. We never use it.
Mm.
That's one thing I will say. You know.
Do pontoon boats have disadvantages? Because I think they look pretty cool.
They do. You can't take the rough water, but you know, for a guy my age, I'm not out in the rough water. You know, so it's no big deal. You got
yeah. Well, very very interesting. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I thought you were done.
That's it. You got all kinds of area. You know, my boat's 24. I use 12 foot of it. That's about it.
yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. It's like people who live in these massive houses. I bet they're probably rooms they've never even sat down in the massive houses. Like, it's all good and fine. You got a massive house, but you know, you can actually get by with very little space and very, very few possessions in life. One thing I've learned: 803. Oh, no, I could live in a closet, but I've been doing that my whole life. Sorry, I thought I'd make you laugh. 803-0930 is the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. I got a few things on the old agenda right now. I do this a lot. I mean, I do it a lot. I do it maybe once a summer, because doing it twice a summer, I think, is against the laws. If you are a boat owner, and is this not the day to do this? If you are a boat owner, what do you love and what do you hate about being a boat owner? Any regrets about being a boat owner? I mean, frankly, some of the people with whom I have been boating have so much money that I don't think they really care about the cost of insurance, registration, maintenance. I think they have a boat boy. Like some people would have a pool boy. I think they have a boat boy, okay? They're just people with just a lot of money, and they know how to spend it. But they might as well, because you can't take it with you. But for the rest of humanity out there, it is obviously, you know, break out another $2,000 on a piece of equipment I couldn't even begin to visualize. Okay, $2,000, good Lord. But is owning a boat worth it? Maybe there are people listening who had a boat and it was the greatest day of their life when they picked it up. But then they realized, my goodness, you're in over your head. The maintenance, the aggravation, the drunken friends who show up late. Ah! And you got rid of the boat, which also, of course, became one of those days. Are there things other boaters do that annoy you? And what everybody who's invited to a boat needs to know before they come on the boat. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. By the way, I'm the perfect boat guest, by the way, as is the lovely Rochelle. We never come empty-handed at all, and she makes the best little sandwiches for boating you ever did taste in your whole life. Back to the calls on WBEN, talking about the whole boating thing. I laid out the topics prior to traffic. Here is Mark in Buffalo. Mark, hello.
Hey, Tom, how are you today?
Awesome.
Excellent. So I love owning a boat, first and foremost. Things that make me angry on the water, everybody's stupid. It's just like when you're driving. You're going to find the one that doesn't know the rules, this, that, and the other thing. But it's the boat ramp. Things at the boat ramp. Just launch your boat. Have everything ready. You got to get your rods and reels or your picnic basket or your coolers. Do it off to the side. Then get in line. Back your boat in. And hustle in between. I'm not asking you to hurry when you're at the boat ramp while you're launching or loading, but hustle in between. Go up, park, hustle back, open the ramp up, let everybody go. That's number one. As far as a guest on the boat, it depends on, now, did I invite you on my boat or did you invite yourself? If you invited yourself, offer some gas money. If you have a boat at a slip, you have to get your fuel right there at the marina. It's very expensive. If you offer, I'm not going to take it, but it shows me that you know, hey, this isn't cheap. I'm going to at least offer.
So when you take, just so people know, and I don't know the size engine you have, I don't know the size boat you have, but just so I'm aware of it and people are aware of it, let's just say you take people out boating for an hour. The typical cost of fuel would be what?
It depends on what boat, actually. I have a fishing boat. I also have a pleasure boat. But so an hour, if we're dragging tubes and a skier, something like that, I'm going to burn $50. It's a $50 bill.
Damn.
Yeah. But that's motor. If we're going out for a cruise, it's going to cost me $20. It probably costs me more to haul the boat down there than it is if we're just going to go out, have a beer or whatever. Which brings me to the next thing. If you're going to booze it up on the boat, don't overdo it. If I feel like I got to take care of you, you're not coming back again. That's that.
Nice.
Have a couple beers, get a nice little buzz. I don't care. I typically don't drink on the water. There's usually kids involved. I'm responsible for everybody on that boat, so I stay away from it. I enjoy my beer, don't get me wrong, but on the water, I might have one with you, but if I'm a guest on somebody else's boat, yeah, I'll have a couple, but I'm not going to get too intoxicated where they're taking care of me.
Do you find that a lot of people who've been guests on your boat are unaware that the sunshine, and the intense temperatures can really aggravate that feeling of drunken vomiting?
Yeah, and a lot of people, like you've heard sea legs before, you mix alcohol with that, the effects are a lot different when you're on the water and there's, you know, the lake's not glass and you're bobbing up and down a little bit. Alcohol is going to affect you in a much bigger way than it would if you were on dry land. So, yes, I have experienced that. They're like, man, I don't know what's wrong with me. It's like, A, you're in the heat. B, you're on the water. Have a couple waters. And that brings me to another thing. Don't have an itinerary. Don't show up and be like, oh, I got to be back by 2 o'clock. Nothing ruins a day on the water like somebody with an itinerary.
That's an awesome bit of advice. And how about don't show up late? If you're supposed to be there at 10 a.m. Sunday, you're there at 9:50 a.m. Sunday.
Oh, yeah. And especially if I'm fishing and you're 5 minutes late and I don't have a phone call, see ya. I'm gone, and I'm going to be gone all day long. So that's a big one. Do not have an itinerary. And if I invited you, say, well, is my wife welcome to join me? If I invited you, great. Don't bring other people. Oh, Uncle Jim's in town. We thought he'd... Now you're put in a situation. Do I have enough life jackets? Do I... You know what I'm saying? That's really imposing on someone.
Absolutely. I mean, I would presume that if you invite somebody you know to be married or in a relationship, the expectation of you as the captain, admiral, and mayor of Boat Town is that they're probably going to bring their significant other. But you should always ask.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know... you invite your nephew, and he shows up with his girlfriend.
Oh my God. You know? Okay, sir, these are excellent. You are a walking Emily Post of boating etiquette knowledge. So hold on, if you would. These are awesome tips, ladies and gentlemen. Awesome tips. We're going to put him on hold. We're going to talk to him more. President Trump visiting the Federal Reserve right now, the creature from Jekyll Island, where the elites of America had to journey to Georgia in separate private railroad cars, so as not to arouse the suspicion of the American public, so they could stay rich and we could all stay not so rich. 803-0930, we're talking about the boating situation now. It's a beautiful day, right? It's going to be a beautiful evening. Well, it'll be most of it a beautiful evening. We'll see. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Remembering Chuck Mangione, who died on July 22nd. Actually, John Dillinger died on July 22nd as well. Different years, however, and different ways of dying. But I want to thank God for Chuck Mangione. Can we just let the music play a little bit longer there, Tanner, please? Chief Incompetence Officer at WVA. That's his title. He just gave it to himself off air. Don't blame me. You realize, if not for Chuck Mangione, we would have nothing to listen to on hold when we're waiting for a real person to answer the phone? Is there a more common song you've heard calling a business when they put you on hold than this? Feels So Good. And this song was just, it was all over the radio when it came out. Same thing with Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. And it was one of those songs that you just heard and heard and heard. And we're not even going to go into the Juice Newton songs that you overheard. Oh my goodness. Am I bringing back some bad memories? Okay. 803-0930. Real quickly, before we get back to Mark, who is a boating etiquette expert. I love this. Two big stories happening today. President Trump, as we speak, is at the Federal Reserve. And about 20 minutes ago, he was walking through construction at the Federal Reserve with Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Fed, who looked as though, it, when you see the video, you're going to think of me. Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Fed, looked as though he was walking through a beer fart the entire time he was walking with President Trump. I'm not even exaggerating. The look on his face was one of disdain and scorn. You know how, like, this weekend, if you go to a lawn fete in Western New York, that you're going to go under a tent. Under the tent, somebody is going to rip an enormous beer fart and walk away. You are going to walk into the cloud. The look on your face at that moment will be the same face Jerome Powell had on his face for at least a minute, minute and a half. I'm just saying. So anyway, thought I'd get that out. And also the federal prosecutor, the assistant attorney general, met with Ghislaine Maxwell today. And that is very very interesting. I cannot wait to get more information on that. We're also going to have the audio of President Trump walking with Jerome Powell, might as well be Jerome Powell of the Fed. And at one point, Powell gave this really startled expression on his face, like somebody had goosed him, just before President Trump reached into his pocket and pulled out a piece of paper, which he handed to the Fed chairman. I'm pretty sure it was not a love note, but we'll have more on that coming up on WBEN. Don't go anywhere. And I cannot wait to see if they're going to meet again with Ghislaine Maxwell. And if Maxwell suddenly dies of a heart attack, or if she suddenly hangs herself in her prison cell, that's going to be really suspicious, don't you think? All right, let's go back to Mark in Buffalo, who is a boater. And I asked boaters a couple of questions. Number one, look, it's summer, and I always ask this question. You own a boat. Is it the dream come true, or is it nothing but a monument to regret and sorrow and bad decision-making on your part? Number one. Number two, what do other boaters do on the waterways that just bothers you? Number three, people like your humble host, I don't know anything about boating other than I like to be on your boat. I don't want to own one. As I said earlier, to me, a boat is like an elephant. They're fun to look at. They're fun to ride. I just don't want to own one. But Mark has several boats. And Mark, continue with your crash course in etiquette for those of us who are invited to boats but aren't really sure what to do.
All right. Don't bring too much. You know, it's nice if you bring something. If you want to bring a 6-pack or 12-pack or a bottle of booze or whatever, that's fine. Most boats now, they have built-in cooler. We don't need to be lugging, taking up more space. You know, don't bring too much. But it's awesome if you offer something.
You want to try telling that to my wife? Seriously? My wife.
No, I've had dude, those wives on a boat.
Dude, I know. I'm not exaggerating. I had to carry a 50-pound bag of boat stuff about a quarter of a mile from parking the last time we went on a friend's boat. It was ridiculous. She's empty-handed. Oh, you know, she's just flouncing around with her friend. And I'm sitting there struggling and sweating in the heat.
Oh, I hear you. And don't bring bananas. I'm surprised you don't know this.
My phallic friend, do explain.
Actually, bananas got a bad name as being bad luck in early maritime years. Bananas, they emit ethylene. So what that would do, all your other perishables that were in stow on these long voyages would perish much more quickly due to that ethylene. Giving bananas a bad name is being bad luck. Now, the fishermen on the boat couldn't catch enough fish to feed the presumably doomed crew. So bananas, a lot of anglers think they're bad luck. They just got a bad name for being bad luck for a scientific reason.
That is really interesting. On the other hand, if somebody brings a pineapple, you're going to have a very unusual cruise.
That is going to be a good time, I think.
By the way, for those who don't know, you're like, well, what does he mean pineapple? Pineapple is like the universal signal for swingers, okay? And when we went to Germany, we were touring one of these medieval castles, and the motif of one of the chandeliers was a pineapple. And I'm cracking up. And a couple of other people in the group are cracking up. We had to explain it to people like, yeah, we're sick people. We know this stuff. So keep on going, man.
Let's see. What have I not covered? Don't bring too much. Oh, messy snacks. I don't need Junior's Cheetos dust all over the interior of my boat. Keep the snacks to something. You know, sandwiches are fine. Anything that's, like, dip can be a pain in the ass. Excuse me. I didn't mean to say that, Tom.
No, that is acceptable. Pain in the buttocks would be even better for this hour of the day.
A little
pain
more
in the
of
buttocks.
A family show. They can be a little messy. In fact, I did it myself. My son and I were on Seneca Lake, and we went over to an establishment and got some wings to go, and I had blue cheese all over everything. So that was,
How about pizza? That was a bad idea. Okay, look, in Buffalo, is pizza ever a bad thing?
Pizza's never a bad thing, because usually by the time you're out there on the water, it's not hot and drippy anymore. I love cold pizza. I actually bring pizza all the time when I go fishing.
Oh, you probably eat sofa pizza, the piece that slides underneath the cushions, man.
As long as it's from Western New York.
I've lived
all over the country, and they're like, oh, you got to visit this place. I'm like, man, our gas station pizza is better than the drywall slapped with ketchup you guys call pizza. So
You know what? I'm going to agree with you 100%. The pizza in Western New York, I've never had pizza in Chicago. I hear it's pretty good, but the pizza in Western New York is so much better than the pizza anywhere else I've ever eaten pizza. Now, I really haven't eaten pizza in a long time, quite frankly. It's just not on my list of things I need to be eating, but the pizza is delicious. There was one time, I have to tell a quick story. Pittsburgh is, what, 300 miles from Buffalo?
Yep.
Four-mile drive, thereabouts.
Down there.
Okay, yep. So a long time ago, August 1st of 2019, my friend Renee Zeno took me to sit first row, front row, Jeff Lynn, ELO. We did not have a chance to eat anything before the show. Afterward, maybe 10, 10:30, quarter to 11 at night. We get back to the room, and we're starving. So we send out for pizza and wings. I want to tell you what arrived at the room was one of the most disgusting displays of dough and tomato sauce and alleged cheese and pepperoni that I would never even call a pizza in Buffalo. It was
I've been there a million times. I do a lot of work down there. I stay in Pittsburgh. I stay away from the pizza.
Dude, what is Pittsburgh is a bigger city than Buffalo. How come it closes at 7 p.m.?
I have no idea. That's because I work till dark, and it's like I usually just ended up at Sheets or a Get-Go because everything's closed. It was unbelievable. And then one other don't on a boat is the spray on sunblock for a couple reasons. It gets they start spraying it, gets caught in the wind. Now it's all over the glass and maybe on the gunwales on the fiberglass. And certain parts of the deck that are open and not carpet will be extremely slippery.
How about people who wear black-soled shoes? You did not bring that up?
I did not bring up shoes because that's kind of a split with me. On my bass boat, it's all carpeted. I'm not stepping on seats. On the other boat, however, yeah, to get in and out, you're stepping on some upholstery. So I try to, if you're wearing a pair of Hey Dudes or some flip-flops or something that you could easily kick off or don't have a rough tread on the bottom, great. Anything else, I'd rather just go shoeless. Unless I'm fishing, because I don't want to hook in my foot.
We got shoeless Joe Jackson going on here. I love it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is really interesting. It really, really is. So basically, as I understand, everything that you've laid out here in terms of do's and don'ts for those of us who are invited on boats, basically, we're not doing anything wrong by showing up with a bottle of wine, some homemade By Rochelle sandwiches, and maybe some healthy chips. There are actually, healthier chips, corn chips, potato chips, and dip, which would be salsa and guacamole dip. Although, you seemed a little bit hesitant about the dip.
It depends. It depends on what we're doing. If the kiddos are coming and we're going to be dragging tubes and skiers, let's stay away from the dip. If we're just out on a little pleasure cruise with a glass of wine, great, dip away.
Do you have a boat on which people can actually sleep?
No, not now. I do not.
Did you ever invite somebody on the boat who says, "Okay, so where do I sleep?" Like they're freaking Gilligan.
No, because the only person that I was much younger in those days and the only person I was inviting on the boat to stay over the night, I was trying to sleep with them. So,
you dog. Well,
you've got to use it to your advantage once in a while.
Well, absolutely. Okay, now the other thing is guys who think it's okay to go pee-pee off the boat.
You know what? Jump in the water. Be a man. Get wet. Jump in the water. I don't care how cold it is. Get wet.
People who leave trash behind, as they often do at parks and beaches.
That'll drive me nuts because I will not litter on the water. I am an avid fisherman. So here's a big one. Help out where you can. I've had situations where I'm coming up to get fuel at the dock and I'm maneuvering the boat and my buddy thought I was coming in a little too hot. Little did he know I'm going to pop it in reverse and swing the stern over. And he's putting his arm between the dock and the boat, and that's how people get hurt. So don't help unless your captain asks you, hey, grab this line. Hey, do this, do that. Don't help unless it's packing the boat or unloading the boat afterwards. If you want to help take the trash out while I'm putting the covers on, great. That would be awesome. But I'm not really there to clean up after you.
Wow, great stuff. Mark, you are a pro, and hopefully you have improved the boating experience for some of your fellow boat owners who invite landlubbers like your humble host onto your boat. Thank you.
I hope so. You have a great day.
Already am, man. Awesome stuff. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. So did you listen up? And how many of those things have you done when invited on somebody else's boat? Did you learn anything? Oh, the other thing, too, I was going to ask about, don't smoke anything on the boat unless you ask permission. A lot of people, I mean, hey, we used to have a country where 50% of the adults smoked. Now it's fewer than 25 out of 100, fewer than a quarter of the American adult population actually smokes cigarettes. Although the smell of New York City, I'm pretty sure 100% of everybody, including infants, are smoking weed. Infants and pigeons are doing weed. My goodness. Even Eric Adams, the mayor of New York City currently, who does not imbibe of the weed smoking, he is like outraged that the smell is everywhere. We did a show on that from about Gateway a couple of summers ago. Not a slam on Gateway, but went down there. And every time I went, like, my goodness, I can't get away from the weed smell. Nothing against weed, but geez. Hey, Mr. Saunders, how long is the audio of President Trump and the Fed chairman at the Fed within the hour?
Probably long enough that playing it right now would not be the move. It's 3:54.
Ah, okay. So coming up on News Radio 930 WBEN, I may continue these topics. I may not. I never know from one minute to the next. I kind of go with the flow, in case you haven't figured that out over the years. Sometimes, like, the best show ideas I have, you guys will say something and I will just go down a different road. It proves to be, that was the right decision, Tom. And then, you know, it's like the more you prep, sometimes it doesn't pay off. And then sometimes the silly things actually pay off. But anyway, we'll find out coming up after 5. But I definitely want to talk about, and there may very well be a topic in this, President Trump toured the Fed and a construction with the chairman of the Fed, Jerome Powell. And I kind of set the stage for that a little bit just a few minutes ago. And another big story that's happening today, well, it actually happened today. It started about 9 o'clock this morning when the assistant attorney general showed up in Tallahassee to talk with Ghislaine Maxwell of Epstein infamy. All right, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney. Time is 5:09. And let us bring you some audio, shall we? Within the hour, President Trump toured the Federal Reserve, in particular the construction at the Federal Reserve. And he did so with a very displeased-looking chairman of the Fed, Jerome Powell. He was, by the way, originally appointed to that position by President Trump, reappointed by President Biden. But President Trump is not happy with Jerome Powell now. And a lot of Trump people think he's intentionally holding the interest rates high because he doesn't want the Trump economy to soar. This guy will be the chairman of the Federal Reserve until May of 2026, unless something happens between now and then, which gives the president a reason to fire him. But anyway, the president was walking through the construction site, hard hat on his head, and here is the audio when they came to a press briefing opportunity.
Thank you very much. We're looking at the construction, and we're with the chairman, as you know. Chairman, come on over. And we're just taking a look at what's happening. You know, it's a tough construction job. They're building basements where they didn't exist or expanding them, and a lot of very expensive work. There's no question about it. And Tim has been with me for a long time, and you're in charge of the committee.
Indeed. One of the reasons why I wanted to see it was the overruns of the expenses, wanted to figure out why.
Yeah. So we're taking a look, and it looks like it's about $3.1 billion. It went up a little bit, or a lot. So the 2.7 is now 3.1.
Hey, Tim, I'm not aware of that.
Yeah, it just came out.
Yeah, I haven't heard that from anybody at the Fed.
Yeah, it just came out.
Our notes had it about 3.1 as well.
3.1,
3.2. This came from us?
Yes. I don't know who does that.
Oh. Now, you're including the Martin renovation. You just added
our entire capital.
Yeah, you just added in a third building is what that is. That's a third building.
Well, no, but it's a building that's being built.
No, it was built 5 years ago. We finished Martin 5 years ago.
It's part of the overall work.
But it's so it's not new.
So we're going to take a look. We're going to see what's happening, and it's got a long way. Do you expect any more additional cost overruns?
Don't expect them. We're ready for them, but we have a little bit of a reserve that we may use. But no, we don't expect to be finished in 2027. Yeah. We're well along, as you can see.
Nice to take these off every once in a while when we're not under too much danger. Any questions?
Mr. President, does the issue give you any?
As a real estate developer, what would you do with a project manager who would be over budget?
Generally speaking, what would I do? I'd fire him.
Do you think this issue, Mr. President, gives you cause to do that?
Well, I'm here just really with the chairman. He's showing us around, showing us the work. And so I don't want to get that. I don't want to be personal. I just would like to see it get finished. And in many ways, it's too bad it started. But it did start, and it's been under construction for a long time. It's going to be a real long time, because it looks like it's got a long way to go.
Yes, sir.
So,
Mr. President, are there things the chairman can say to you today that would make you back off some of the earlier criticism?
Well, I'd love him to lower interest rates. Other than that, what can I tell you? The country is doing really well. I just briefed the chairman of the deal with Japan. Japan is putting up $550 billion in order to lower their tariffs a little bit. That way they have a little bit lower tariff. And they also opened their country to free trade, which nobody thought was even a possibility. And we get a zero tariff in the free trade. We don't pay tariffs. And they're going to pay 15% on everything they send into our country. So it's great. But they put up as you could call it seed money. Let's call it seed money. You could call it anything you want, but it's a total of $550 billion. So nobody thought any of that was possible, and it's wonderful. And we're doing pretty well with the European Union, likewise. And we have some others. They're all really big, and our country's going to make a lot of money. We would be helped if interest rates would come down, but we're going to see how the board rules on that soon. I'd love to see them come down a lot. But we have a country that's thriving. We had a country 1 year ago. Today we have the hottest country anywhere in the world. Hmm. And we'll get this one finished. Thank you.
There's that word again, hottest. How many times has President Trump used that in recent days? Hottest. That's a little strange. That is President Trump at the Federal Reserve with Senator Tim Scott and also the chairman of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell. And at one point, when you see this on the video, first of all, Powell did not look really happy to be walking through the Fed with the guy who had called him a numbskull at one point. Didn't look real happy. And then the president, he looked startled when the president reached into his pocket and pulled out the listing of cost overruns and charges. Then he said, well, no, this is adding on this other building that isn't part of the project we just saw. I'm putting words into his mouth, but I'm trying to convey what was said as well as I possibly can, or what was intended as well as I possibly can. And basically, the president then took some questions, as you heard, from members of the media, and said on two occasions that he would like to see the Fed reduce interest rates. And to what extent are they going to reduce interest rates, if any? Will it be a quarter of a basis point? I mean, some people would love to see at least 3 basis points shaved from the interest rates. So that may actually be a pipe dream, but one never knows. But, you know, I think the message to Powell is, I'm the president of the United States, and I'm watching you. I'm watching everything. Watch your P's and Q's. He's brought up the cost overruns and did it to the face of the chairman of the Federal Reserve within the hour. And you know, some people, again, there is a lot of speculation that they're trying desperately to find cause to remove Powell from being the chairman of the Federal Reserve. Is that going to bear fruit? Is it not? I don't know. But as far as cost overruns in the Federal Reserve, anybody else have the same thought? Well, it's the Federal Reserve. All they have to do is just print up the extra money and give it to them. Here you go. We just hot off the presses, guys. It is 16. I know it doesn't work that way. Really. It's coming up on 16 minutes after 5 at News Radio 930 WBEN. And it is Bowerly with you on the radio on a Thursday, and should be a really nice evening in Western New York. Not sure about the overnight in Western New York. There are some storm activities to our west over Michigan. Will they still be in full fury by the time they reach us? If they reach us, will they dissipate possibly? Don't know right now, but keeping our eye on the radar. And again, the temperature 90 degrees, feels like 97, and the heat advisories are in effect for Genesee, Niagara, and Orleans counties of New York, just so you are aware of that and take the appropriate measures. But otherwise, it should be a really nice evening to do anything outside in Western New York, including going boating. Ah, we worked around to that, didn't we? By the way, really quickly, before we get back there, the other story that is big, again, is the assistant attorney general speaking with Epstein's scumbag girlfriend at one point, Ghislaine Maxwell, and it is going to be well worth keeping your eyes on if Maxwell is ready to testify additionally under oath about the activities of Jeffrey Epstein and those who were involved with that sordid business. Now, one of the knocks on Maxwell is she has never taken full responsibility for what she did. She has denied things that have been gainsaid by witnesses who were there, things that she did that she said she didn't do. She did them according to witnesses. And is she a reliable witness? And I guess with somebody like Maxwell, you have to ask the question, anything she says, can it be corroborated? Is it just her word against somebody else's word? Or can she tell us where the bodies are buried? Usually I use that metaphorically. I'm not so sure in this case. Can she point to actual corroborating evidence of any allegation she may make? Maybe not about Epstein, because he's long dead, but people who are still alive and possibly occupying positions in the corridors of power. By the way, it also worth noting that a lot of the media reports today focused on the president's name was in the Epstein files. This really shouldn't strike anybody as a big surprise, because we knew that they were acquainted from the social scene of New York City before everybody knew what an absolute sexual predator Jeffrey Epstein was. And in fact, it was a then real estate developer and TV guy, Donald Trump, who is thought to have dropped a dime on Epstein over some shady practices, which got him indicted in the state of Florida, and he got a very lenient deal from the state of Florida back in the day, the early 2000s. And the fact that President Trump's name is in the Epstein files does not surprise me in the least. Doesn't surprise you, I'm sure, in the least. And it's all about context. In what way was it in the files? What did it say? And the way I look at this, and look, maybe it's my bias showing through, but the way I look at it is, if there was anything perfidious or horrible about Trump's name in those files, who had the files over the course of the previous administration? His political enemies. Did they bring up those files at all? No, they did not. Did they bring them up in the campaign against Kamala Harris? Geez, not that I remember. Anybody have a better memory than I? So if there was anything salacious about Trump in the Epstein files, don't you think we would have heard about it during the campaign? Don't you think we might have heard about it during the all-out assault on Trump? And it just seems to me like they're not giving up on the phony letter that was published by the Wall Street Journal for the birthday of Jeffrey Epstein, complete with the lewd drawing, allegedly, by President Trump. So getting Maxwell to cooperate, I think, is going to be very important. But I would definitely caution that I would say that anything that Ghislaine Maxwell has to say about Epstein and the big names involved with him, she especially, I think, is going to need corroboration. And people are going to have to figure out, is she a witness in whom people can have faith that she is dependable and reliable? Is she somebody who is trustworthy based on her word? I would say probably not. You probably want to get some corroborating evidence of anything she says that involves anybody else. And will they offer her a deal off the 20-year sentence to which she was put years ago? 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's go to Pat on a cell phone on WBEN, and welcome to the program. You are on the radio.
Thank you. Tom, you know, you were wondering why, if Trump was on the list, they hadn't released it. Well, Biden could release it because for years, conservatives have been saying that Clinton's on the list. And all these other Democrats. So why would he release the list? Now, Biden didn't run on a platform of releasing.
Well, no, the answer is actually kind of easy. You want to know the answer? The answer is you selectively release things, like you selectively doctor intelligence.
But he didn't do that either. So the point here is...
Wait, who are we talking about, Biden or Obama? Who are we talking about?
Biden.
Okay, but Obama, Obama selectively manufactured intelligence. We know that, and it's been referred to DOJ for possible prosecution. As far as Biden, do you think Biden was really president? Do you think that man with the vacant eyes was really president, or do you think Obama was calling the shots behind the scenes?
So, Tom, two things. We don't really know that. Tulsi Gabbard, if you remember just 3 weeks ago, Donald Trump said she didn't know what she was talking about. So now all of a sudden we're supposed to believe what she says because all of a sudden now she knows what she's talking about. Second of all, if you don't believe that Biden was with it, then, you know, the Constitution that everyone hides behind allows for the 25th Amendment.
But what are you going to do when everybody lies about the mental competency of President Biden and the obvious conspiracy between the Biden administration and friendly media people to keep his senility away from us, even though you could see it with your own eyes? I mean, are you telling me, sir, that you believe that Biden was a competent, mentally facile individual?
I don't believe that. I believe that he was able to put together a team that took interest rates from 10.2%. Unemployment from 10.2% down to 4.1%.
And gas prices did what? I forget. What did gas prices do? Remind me. What did food prices do? What did egg prices do during the Biden administration? You'll have to refresh my memory.
You mean because of the pandemic? The pandemic?
Oh, the pandemic. Oh, okay. It was all the pandemic. Okay. Okay.
So see, that's the problem, really.
When did the pandemic end and when did Joe Biden take over? I'm curious.
The pandemic ended 2 years after Biden took over. They called an end to it. It started.
When did you catch on that it was a scam? When did you catch on that it was a scam?
Probably after the 1,200,000 person died from it. Yeah.
Yeah. When did you catch on? When did you catch on that the vaccine was a scam? When did you catch on to that? When did you catch on to the number of people dying of heart-related issues who were young and athletic, who never should have died of heart-related issues, who bragged about being vaccinated? When did you catch on to that?
Tom, how are you feeling? You got the vaccine.
Well, actually, I take countermeasures to the...
You're looking great.
Well, actually, it's funny you mention that, sir, because a lot of people thought that when my retina detached, that might have been related to the vaccine. There actually are reports that the vaccine may be linked to detached retina. And since you seem to know all about me, I will share with you, I did file a VAERS report on the vaccine because right after I had the vaccine, the first and the second dose of the vaccine, for the first time ever in my life, my legs swelled up to elephantine proportions. Yeah. I posted pictures on my Facebook page. The blood under the toenails was forced, it was forced really at a very high pressure, discoloring the toenails. So I'm not a big fan of the jab, quite frankly.
But you got the second dose.
And honestly, I wish I never had. I wish I hadn't. I was stupid.
So hindsight's always 20/20. You know, the people that developed chemotherapy, I'm certain that they regret that people died while they were developing this, and that the government...
Yeah, but they didn't force it. Sir, there's a big difference. They didn't force it on people. People like Kathy Hochul or Cuomo didn't tell people they had to get chemotherapy or they'd lose their job. That's apples and oranges. I thank you very much for the call. It is 28 minutes after 5 at News Radio 930 WBEN. I'm running late. We need to break for news. It's Bowerly. Don't go anywhere. Lame, Tanner. Very, very lame. I'm just saying. It is Bowerly News Radio. You give the boy the rope and he ends up doing something bad to himself. I just don't know what to do with that young man. It's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Now, you know, I'm just sitting here thinking during the break, and this, you know, comes up during David's show, comes up during Joe's show all the time, but how anybody in their right mind can look at Democrat-run New York State, Democrat-run cities all across America, including Buffalo, look at Democrat-run Erie County and think, boy, these guys are doing a great job. It is honestly absolutely beyond me. And if you look back to the days where we couldn't decide what was a man and what was a woman with great fondness and longing, I kind of feel bad for you. Because we should not even be debating that. Man, woman. We believe in science, but we don't believe in those chromosome things. Huh? Talking about the COVID thing, I mean, we believe in science. Science is our God and Savior. But we're not going to consider chromosomal science when it comes to determining the sex of a human being, the gender of a human being. It doesn't make sense. We're going to attack Riley Gaines for swimming to the California shore from Alcatraz while she's pregnant. But that same fetus in New York State, it could be in the birth canal waiting to come into this world, and you can go ahead and abort it. And we're going to give that legislation a standing ovation. We care about babies. Really? It doesn't make any sense. And you look at the places that are hemorrhaging population, like New York and California. And what, is California hemorrhaging population because of weather? I really would doubt that, because it never rains in Southern California. Albert Hammond told us that many years ago. He also told us that all he needed was the air that he breathed and to love you. He wrote that song. The Hollies had a big hit with it. But anyway... It boggles the mind how anybody can think about the inflation. And the pandemic is a great thing. See, if it wasn't the pandemic, it would have been, well, he inherited a mess from the Trump administration. That would have been the first line of defense, not the pandemic. And the pandemic was such a scam because has anybody figured out yet that whenever you see a situation you don't understand, look at the financial interest? Okay, riddle me this, Batman. When somebody is beheaded in a motorcycle accident and their corpse is taken to, well, they took him to the hospital to pronounce, maybe it wasn't quite severed, maybe it was almost there, and they had to have somebody pronounce death, you could be almost beheaded in a motor vehicle accident, but if you tested positive for COVID, that was a COVID death. Really? Okay. The whole masking situation, the detriment that was done to our children, because of that situation. A lot of people made a lot of money off of COVID. And we know that in Erie County because of the health commissioner and all that overtime she took in. Really? You're the commissioner and yet you get overtime. I don't get overtime in my job. Do you get overtime in your job? Because I don't get overtime in my job. All the work we did during the blizzard of 2022, sleeping at the radio station, eating each other's flesh to survive. didn't get overtime for that. That was just part of the deal. That was part of the job. I don't understand why somebody in the position of health commissioner got overtime. That makes zero sense to me in a common sense world. Now, as far as Trump and the Epstein files, it would have been very easy for Obama to use the Biden hand puppet to say, well, we're going to release what was said about Donald Trump. There was nothing that we could find about Bill Clinton or any prominent Democrat, but we have this on Republicans. They could have done that. Hey, if you can convince your national security apparatus, you can order and convince them to lie about the Russia hoax, to do a 180 on their original intelligence analyses, and then come out with something different for political purposes to cripple the incoming president. Why couldn't you do that with the Epstein files? And by the way, if Trump being mentioned in the Epstein files had been a big deal during the Biden administration, why wouldn't you do that? Why did Democrats suddenly discover the Epstein files and say they have to be released? And what I think Trump is doing with the Epstein situation is actually quite brilliant, because it is my considered opinion that he inherited doctored and polluted and contaminated files from the Democrat administration in front of him. I believe that he sensed that he was walking into a trap with the Epstein files. And, you know, what provenance do these documents have? What is their background? What is the story of these documents? How legitimate are they? And originally, he said no. And then there was a public outcry, as you know, hey, we would like to know about the Epstein situation. And he had the attorney general request the courts release the grand jury testimony of witnesses in the Epstein trial. That request was turned down. I don't know if there is an appeal that can be made to that or not, but you talk about credible information, and the president early last week talked about credible information, and then he referenced a couple of very questionable bits of public hoaxing that was done to the American public, and I really do believe, and today, of course, today the assistant attorney general talking with Ghislaine Maxwell, and am I the only person who wonders if she's going to suffer a sudden plane crash death, even though she's in prison, a sudden heart attack before her next meeting? I hope that she's under a proper protection as she is languishing, as she should be, by the way, in Tallahassee. But like I said, with Ghislaine Maxwell, anything that woman says, she's got to corroborate. It's got to be corroborated by third parties. Because honestly, if Ghislaine Maxwell strikes me as an opportunistic, parasitic piece of Lake Erie. And if she is going to testify, if she's going to offer testimony, which would incriminate anybody, I don't care if they're Republican or Democrat or royalty or Hollywood, whatever the case may be, her reputation is lower than iguana urine. Okay. She's got to be able to show where the bodies are buried. She's got to be able to offer corroboration, or at least a trail to corroboration, regarding anything she says about anybody. In short, do you trust Ghislaine Maxwell? Because I don't. Ghislaine Maxwell is a woman who denied under oath that she gave a young girl a massage, which I think is a euphemism for something else. And it was basically shown to be not true. You actually did give this young lady a massage. You actually did break down barriers with these young women so that Jeffrey Epstein could use them along with his buddies for their own perverted, disgusting purposes. You did that. So, Ghislaine Maxwell, I do think this story is very, very interesting about the Assistant U.S. Attorney General speaking with her today. But when it comes to somebody like that, I personally believe that you have to be very careful of falling into the trap of believing something that just happens to fit into your worldview or your narrative because, well, she was there and she testified to it and she saw it and listen to what she says. Yeah, well, you know what? Her past track record of credibility is not really all that good. So I don't mean to belabor the point, but she's got to be able to prove it. And with respect to Tulsi Gabbard, I don't care so much what President Trump said about her after Iran. I care more about what hard evidence she has turned over to the Department of Justice. And hard, and she's done document dumps. You can read some of the documents, at least the non-redacted parts. You can read those to your heart's content. But if those documents are the real deal, and there's no reason to believe they're not, and God knows what hasn't been released to the public that DOJ has, if they are genuine Obama administration documents and there is a smoking gun as to Obama ordering his intelligence people to doctor intelligence to make Donald Trump look bad, that's a pretty big deal. It's not treason. According to the legal definition, we talked about this yesterday, it isn't treason, but is it a conspiracy to deprive somebody of their rights? Yeah, it might very well be that, but I'm not an attorney, so I don't know. As far as the COVID vaccine, you know, we all make stupid decisions in life. And if I had the opportunity to take a time travel, I would not take that jab. I wouldn't do it. And, you know, comparing chemotherapy to something that was mandated and the very same healthcare workers we were told were heroes for treating the afflicted during the pandemic. These people are amazing. They're heroes. All the self-sacrifice, all the hours away from their family. Yay, healthcare workers. And those same people were then considered to be too stupid to make up their own mind as to whether or not they wanted an experimental jab. Military recruitment fell because of it. There's something that just is rotten in the state of Denmark. And how many young athletic people have to die of sudden cardiac issues before somebody says, is there a connection between A and B? Now, getting back to the whole detached retina, I have no idea if my detached retina had anything to do with the jab. I will testify under oath and a stack of a million Bibles. I know it was the jab that caused my legs to swell for the only time in my life. The only time in my life. Yeah, and I was stupid enough to have the second jab, which I didn't do with the other vaccine, you know, the shingles vaccine. That vaccine, number one, it sent my temperature up to 105 degrees. I should have gone to the hospital. I didn't. I just slept all day. I didn't even bother getting the second one upon advice of my doctor. But as far as the jab for COVID, yeah, I wish that I hadn't taken it. And at least I didn't get the second shingles shot. Maybe I could have set 110 degree fever. Yeah. This whole situation is extremely, extremely interesting. And I don't know what DOJ is going to do with this information. I'm sure first thing they're going to do is confirm that they're dealing with real documents and the real deal. That would be number one. Is this real evidence? And then what statutes have been violated if these documents are true? Number three, do we take it to a grand jury and get indictments? And do we have a trial or a series of trials? Not just on Obama, but the entire national security apparatus that put false information out to the American people in an attempt to hamstring the incoming president, Donald Trump. We talked about that yesterday all day. And to me, that is a really big story. And I honestly believe that story is bigger than Watergate. I truly believe that. And obviously, the veracity of my judgment and conclusion is going to be based on what goes down in the future relative to Obamagate. I kind of hate it that every scandal since Watergate has had gate at the end of it. It's kind of stupid, I think. I'm sorry. One of the things we did talk about today is the whole boating situation. Once a year, when it's a day like this, I'd like to visit the boating situation. And believe me, it's not because I have any desire to buy a boat. I will never buy a boat, no matter what my situation ever is in life. I will never buy a boat. No interest. It's just easy to go on other people's boat. Let you enjoy ownership of a fine water-going craft. Let you deal with the insurance, the storage, and everything about which you need to worry when you own a boat, not to mention the payments you may be making on it. I'm okay to let you have your place in the sun, long as you invite us. And if you do, we will follow boating etiquette. As always, we will never arrive empty-handed. We will always have a bottle of wine or some other alcohol of your preference. We will always have food, including homemade sandwiches and chips, very healthy chips, I might add, and a few accoutrements to the chips, whether they be nacho chips or my chips. But the things that people who are invited on boats should never do, this is accumulated from over the internet. Showing up late, that's a no-no, because when somebody tells you 10 o'clock, you better be there 10 minutes to 10, because they're going to leave without you, because that's just what they do. Don't show up with an itinerary. I love what our caller said earlier. Don't show up on the boat and say, oh, I got to be back by 1. Not cool. Also, if you are invited, don't assume that Uncle Fred is invited as well, because, well, he'd like to go out on the water. No, 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 because that puts the boat owner and your host at a real disadvantage, okay? It's a social faux pas. Don't just show up with people. At least get clearance first. No black sole shoes to be worn on boats. Go barefoot unless told otherwise by the captain. Don't drink too much in the sun and with the waves. You might think you've got a huge capacity for alcohol, but the sun may have an argument to pick with you on that front. And don't pee anywhere but the head without the express permission of the captain, men. And if you're a woman and you can pee off the side of the boat, you got a good sense of balance. And never open a cooler that isn't yours. I want to thank Mr. Saunders, Tanner Saunders, for a perfect game behind the glass today on News Radio 930 WBEN. I shall return tomorrow between 3 and 6 following Joe Beamer, who follows David Bellavia. Stay with us, because coming up, it's Tom Puckett and Buffalo's Evening News on News Radio 930 WBEN. That is next for your listening and dancing pleasure.